Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Regarding the Holy Quran, the misconception I'd like to bring into discussion today relates to the nature of the Quranic oaths. Now, we know that there are a number of places in the Quran in which oaths have been sworn by various objects, for example, the day, the night, man, woman, and similarly a number of other objects like figs, olives. So all these objects are sworn by. And the question which arises is that why are these oaths sworn by these things? Why are these oaths sworn by these objects? Because primarily it is understood that the purpose of an oath in the Quran is to emphasize or stress a claim. So thus, for example, a number of places where these oaths are cited, the purpose is to stress or emphasize a certain claim which is made. Now, it is first of all needs to be examined that why at all oaths are sworn by these objects and what is the element of emphasis which is found in such oaths. Because if oaths are taken to sort of tell us the fact that a certain claim is to be emphasized, then what is the use of this emphasis for to a person who is a non-believer? This emphasis and this stress would be of no use, because of course he would be requiring some argument, some reasoning to get convinced. So why would an emphatic statement convince him? Similarly, for believers, it will be of no use as well, because they have already believed in something that they have been called to believe. So what at all is the use of the oath if it actually means that it stresses or emphasizes a certain claim? And now, it needs to be understood that as far as this interpretation is concerned, it needs to be reevaluated that all oaths in the Quran, especially which are sworn by these objects, they are meant to emphasize a statement. In recent times, Imam Hamiduddin Farahi has re-examined and revisited this issue, and he has proven in the light of the Quran itself and in the light of Arabic literature that oaths primarily are meant to bear witness to a certain claim. They are meant to bear evidence to a certain statement which comes after them. So this is what the general approach should have been or should be vis-a-vis the Quran itself and vis-a-vis Arabic literature. Now, Imam Hamiduddin Farahi, while trying to establish his conclusion, has presented the Quran itself and two distinct places in the Quran to show that how the basic purpose of an oath is not to emphasize but to bear witness. Of course, emphasis could be the result of this bearing witness, but it is not the actual purport of an oath. So he has presented two very explicit places of the Quran and shown us that here actually it is very clear that all oaths, they are meant to bear witness, to bear testimony to a certain claim, and they are not meant for emphasis as is generally understood. Now, I'll present both these verses to you. One of these verses is in Surah An-Nur, and the words of this verse are, وَالَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ أَزْوَاجَهُمْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِلَّا أَنفُسُهُمْ فَشَهَادَةُ أَحَدِهِمْ أَرْبَعُ شَهَادَاتٍ بِاللَّهِ. Now, this is the place where the issue of li'an is discussed. And we know that li'an is that when a man or a wife, either of them, accuses his or her spouse of fornication, then in order to tell or defend oneself, the other spouse has to bear, he or she has to bear oaths, swear oaths, and tell the other person that no, whatever the other spouse is telling about him or her is wrong, and her or his own defense are these oaths. So this is the place in the Quran where Imam Farahi says that how explicitly the word oaths is, the oaths mentioned there, clearly they represent the bearing witness. They tell us that the basis of an oath or the meaning of an oath is to bear witness. Now, as you have seen, that the words for this is فَشَهَادَةُ أَحَدِهِمْ أَرْبَعُ شَهَادَاتٍ بِاللَّهِ. So let me first translate this verse, and I'll then explain how Imam Farahi has tried to prove from this verse that the word or that the oath itself actually means bearing witness. Now, the meaning of the verse is, if a man accuses his wife but has no witnesses except himself, he shall swear four times by God that his charge is true, calling down upon himself the curse of God if he is lying. So you can see very clearly that the word arba'u shahadatin billah is used. The shahada, the word Arabic word shahada itself means evidence. So the word shahadatin billah is used, and of course shahadatin billah, whenever it is used in this sense, it actually connotes an oath. So this is a very clear example that how an oath actually connotes evidence or bearing witness. At another place in Surah Munafiqun, Imam Farahi has presented in other verse, which is even more explicit in this regard, and is and the words of that verse are: إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ قَالُوا نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُهُ وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ اتَّخَذُوا أَيْمَانَهُمْ جُنَّةً. So a simple translation of this verse would read: when the hypocrites come to you, they say, "We bear witness that indeed you are God's messenger." Now, note these words: "We bear witness," which in Arabic are "Nashhadu innaka la Rasulullah." So, as the verse goes on, and God knows that you are indeed His messenger, and God bears witness that these hypocrites are indeed absolute liars. They use their oaths as a shield. So, you see, in Arabic, the word oath is also connoted by the word ayman. And this ayman is actually referring to the shahada, which is mentioned in the previous part of this verse, when the words are "Nashhadu innaka Rasulullah." So the bearing of witness by the hypocrites that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a messenger of God is being called an oath by the subsequent words. So a junna, the words "ittakhazu aymanahum junna" actually refer to the fact that the oaths they have sworn, which of course are connoted by the words "Qalu nashhadu innaka Rasulullah," clearly point to the fact that the word ayman, which of course means oath, relates to the words "Inna qalu nashhadu innaka Rasulullah," and the word shahada in Arabic, means to bear witness or to bear testimony. So this is a very explicit and clear example of the fact that how the crux of the word oath is actually bearing witness. So in other words, Imam Farahi has tried to establish that whenever oaths are sworn in the Quran, they are not meant for emphasis. They are not meant to emphasize a statement. Rather, they are meant to bear witness to a certain claim, which is either stated ahead or at times is suppressed, because this suppression is something which is very understood. So in his own tafsir and in the tafsir of his own student, Amin Ehsan Islahi, we can find a number of instances in which wherever these oaths are mentioned, they have tried to show that how the object on which this oath is sworn by bears witness to a certain thing which is stated later, after that. So we know that if we analyze an oath, or the anatomy of an oath is that primarily it consists of a muqsim bihi, which of course means an object on which that oath is sworn. And then there is a muqsim alayh, which of course is a statement which follows the muqsim bihi, which means that it is a certain claim on which the muqsim bihi, or the object on which that oath is sworn, bears witness. So primarily the muqsim bihi bears witness or bears testimony upon the muqsim alayh. And this is how, as Imam Farahi and Imam Islahi would say, we need to interpret these verses. And of course, there could be a number of examples which I can cite from their own tafsir and their own tafsirs to convey the fact that how beautifully, when we relate the muqsim bihi to the muqsim alayh, the thing is actually basically an argumentation between the muqsim and bihi and the muqsim alayh, how the muqsim bihi substantiates and corroborates the claim which is made in the muqsim alayh. Now, just to give one example, if we can study Surah Asr, we'll come to know that how the word Asr actually is bearing witness on the claim which is being stated in the subsequent verses. Thus, we know that Surah Asr, which is one of the very shortest surahs of the Quran, the words are "wal Asr," which of course, if properly translated, would mean that time bears witness. And on what does it bear witness? "Inna al-insana lafi khusr," that man is indeed in a state of loss. Except those people who profess faith, who do righteous deeds, who exhort one another to the truth, and who exhort one another to persevere on the truth. So this is the whole muqsim alayh is stated right after the words "wal asr." And how does, of course, the question would arise that how does the word "wal asr" bear witness to the fact that mankind is in loss except such and such people? Now, it needs to be understood again from the Quran. If we understand the word "asr" from the context of the Quran, from the usage of the Quran, we come to know that it actually refers to the time of the Risala period, which in other words means the time which extends from the Prophet Adam sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the period of Risala. This is the period in which the messengers of God were sent by the Almighty to this earth so that they could decide their fate in this world and thereby bear witness to the fact that whatever is being stated after "wal asr" is a claim which is absolutely true. So in other words, the period of Risala, which is from Adam to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it bears witness that mankind is in a state of loss except people who do these and these things, because we know that in the times of these messengers of God, only those people achieved salvation. Only those people were not in loss who were actually had these attributes. So for this, of course, we need also to study this law of Risala, as per which in the times of the messengers of God, the Almighty delivers the truth through these messengers to such an extent that their addresses are not left with any excuse to deny it. And when the Quran says that wal asr, it actually is referring to this period in which a messenger, since he sets up the court of justice in this world, and people, the fate of people is decided in this world on the basis of the faith and on the basis of the good deeds they do. So therefore, he actually substantiates the claim of the Quran that only those people shall succeed who profess faith, who actually do good deeds, and similarly what the other thing which are mentioned in this surah. So primarily we have to understand that it is the era of the prophets of God or the messengers of God which bears witness on the fact that mankind is in a state of loss, because in that era, from Adam to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whichever messenger came, whichever messenger actually delivered his message to his people, he showed them, he told them that if you do not accept what he's telling you, if they intentionally deny the truth, then they shall certainly be routed in this world, they shall certainly be destroyed in this world. And this is actually what happened. So in the lives of all the messengers of God, people who did not profess these attributes, which are mentioned in the surah, they were routed and they were destroyed. So the claim of the surah primarily, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ, is actually established if we link this period of the Risala, which is represented by Wal Asr, to each other. So if we properly translate the opening verse of the surah, the very precise translation would be that the period of Risala bears witness. The period of Risala means the period in which the messengers of God came to this earth. It bears witness that how people who denied intentionally, who were not equipped with the qualities which these verses mention, how they were in a state of loss. So this is just one element, this is one place which I have tried to explain how a muqsim bihi is related to its muqsim alayh. Of course, we need to study the tafaseer and the explanation of these stalwarts of Quranic tafaseer to see how other muqsim bihis relate to their muqsim alayhs. So in a nutshell, we can say that the primary purpose of an oath is not to emphasize or to stress a statement. It is rather to present evidence, to bear testimony to a claim which is stated later on. So this, of course, is something which needs to be understood, that these oaths are meant to testify to a certain claim. They are not meant to emphasize that claim, as is generally understood. أَكُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ.